And welcome to another episode of the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. We are doing a special Q&A session today. So, how are you doing, Yvette?
I'm doing good. I'm very excited for this episode. How about you?
I'm good. I'm excited too. I'm excited for people to get to know us a little bit better. We're going to do like a little fun holiday version of it. So, it's going to be really fun. By the time this airs, it will just have been Christmas. We'll be closer to New Year. So, I am excited to talk about all things holiday, so please get cozy, get your favorite treat, and settle in, and we're about to spill all of the holiday. To start off, how are you feeling about the holiday season right now?
I'm not ready, to be honest. I don't even know where these months have gone. By the time I'm trying to catch up and I'm like, okay, well, I should start fall decor. Now we're already in Christmas. Do I go and start the holiday spirit decor, or like when is the perfect time to do that? Because a lot of the times we go to Mexico, so we do the elf a little bit before, because I feel like my kids don't get the full experience. We used to start it on December 1st, but then there was one time we left like December 10th, and they only got 10 days of it, and then of course it traveled with us. It was harder to do because you're on vacation and like you want to tune out on vacation mode, but it's harder to do. So I'm like, maybe it should start sooner. And then sometimes when I go on vacation, I come back, my tree's still up. It's hard to gauge like when is the right time to do it. And then I'm seeing people like, when they post online, they're like, Halloween is over, so we're gonna start decorating for Christmas. And I'm like, okay. But then I'm like, where does Thanksgiving come along? Like, I remember a couple years ago, we did like on Thanksgiving, we put up the tree just because everybody could put their spheres up and then like do their wishes or however people do it. I know different traditions across different cultures. So I was like, that's great. That's I barely started getting into that pattern, and then now we're like, I guess that whole thing disappeared now because we're already in Christmas like theme. So it's hard to gauge in my like I feel like I'm always running out of time to do everything. I don't know how you feel. I don't know where you've been, like how you typically schedule out your decor, but I am not great at decor, so I'm just like whatever rules like my kids want it, we'll do it.
Yeah, I'm not really big on Christmas or any decor, really. It just wasn't part of what we did growing up. But I did see this year that a lot of people, it was like the second Halloween was over, everyone's Christmas tree went up. Typically, if we do put a Christmas tree, it's the day after Thanksgiving on Black Friday. That's usually when we do it. This year, we didn't put up a tree because we have a kitten. And he is psycho. I love him to pieces. He's like the sweetest cat ever. His name is Kai, but he is really active and crazy, and he wants to get into everything and he wants to jump on everything. So it did kind of freak me out, the idea of like him, I don't know, climbing on the tree, getting hurt, the tree falling on him. I don't know. A million scenarios go through my head. So we didn't put up a tree this year. But I really don't think there's a right or wrong way to do it. It's just whatever works for your family.
Yeah, I feel the
But
same.
usually, typically we do put up a tree, but just this year we skipped it. Hopefully next year Kai will be a little bit more calm and then we'll do it.
That's what I was thinking, like, because I just got a new puppy. So I was like, is he gonna play with the little like spheres? Should I not put it up? Like, what's the safety precautions? And then I'm like, well, for the most part, he's like good, he's chill, but I'm like, I don't know. I can see him, he's like going through phases and he's growing. So I'm like, I don't know. So we'll see. I was thinking maybe put the spheres up higher and then, but because kittens are a little bit different, they like jump more
Oh
and
yeah,
they
they
reach
want.
everything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know how it is with dogs either. I've never had a dog, but with cats, it's like they will jump and they'll climb things, you know? And I don't think dogs really do that, but I could be wrong. So yeah, maybe do some research.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess I'm just gonna experience instead of researching, because I guess sometimes it's like different dogs behave differently. So kind of like children sometimes. I hate to like compare kids to like animals and things of that nature, but like my kid says we're animals too. So okay, it works. But I don't know. I have to figure it out because he's still little. But I'm like, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But do you? So if you do put up a Christmas tree, like when do you typically take it off?
We typically take it off after New Year's. So
Okay.
like the second or something, or the 3rd of January is when we would take it off,
Okay.
typically.
And are you a real tree person? Are you a fake tree person? Like, what do
Yeah,
you?
fake tree all the way.
Same, same. I'm like, I don't know if I can do. I mean, they both have dangers, right? Like, they both can catch on fire, but
Yeah.
the having to water it, the more responsibilities, and I don't know. I've always like wondered what it was like to have a natural tree, but again, we've always done fake trees, same purpose, so.
Same. We've always done fake trees, but I do say that what I do like about the natural trees is like the smell. They smell
Yes.
really nice and they look really pretty. Maybe if I had like a huge living room, my living room's not that big, but maybe if I had like a huge living room or something, then maybe, I don't know. But fake trees are just so much easier than real trees, and I don't need any more responsibilities.
Yeah, same, same. How do you guys typically spend your holidays?
Like all of the holidays or just Christmas?
For Christmas season, Thanksgiving, New Year's, what do you guys typically do? Like, are you here? Are you on vacation?
Thanksgiving, the last couple of years, we've been going on a vacation. So just like me, my husband, and my two kids. This year we went to Disney. So we were in Disney for Thanksgiving. And then for Christmas, typically we go with my mom. So we usually go to my mom's house. All of my husband's family lives in Mexico, so it's not like I'm selfish and I just want to be with my family. But his family is mostly in Mexico. His parents, he does have some siblings here, but his parents are in Mexico. And so typically we go to my mom's house for Christmas and spend it with my siblings and my mom. And then New Year's, also like the last couple of years, we've usually done like little like mini trips. I think last year we went to the Great Wolf Lodge. Have you ever heard of the Great Wolf Lodge?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I've never been to it. So that's
It's
one of the
so
things I have to
cool.
do.
You should. The kids would love it. It's like an indoor humongous water park. We had so much fun. I think that that's what we're gonna do this year again because we really, really enjoyed it. If not, if we don't do like a mini trip, then we just stay home because I don't, by then I am so partied out. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I just want to relax and I want to be with my kids. I typically don't do anything on New Year's. What about you?
It depends. Like, I think for the most part, like the last 10, 11 years, we've always gone to Mexico during the holiday season, like December through January, and the kids are out of school. Before that, I mean, I go to Mexico at least every year, depending on how we're doing and how my grandma's doing. So I have a grandma that's 95 and she lives in Mexico. So we do our best to travel and go be with her on the holidays or spend time with her whenever we can. So my kids have always experienced December in Mexico. So I'm like thinking, I'm like, dude, they're so fortunate that we travel during those days, but they spend it very differently. I feel like over there it's more like a potluck party type of thing. And when we're here, it's like we're present, we're doing like gift exchanges. Most of the time we're in Mexico, so it's totally different. In Mexico, yeah, there's fireworks and things of that nature, but it's really hard to pinpoint having everybody at one spot because everybody has family and in-laws. And it's like one time we did a big party in El Rancho, and then everybody had like was halfway there and then had to go to the other party. And I'm like, we usually are the ones to do that. So it was like, oh my God, like everybody, like it ended early, you know? But I was like, oh my God, hice todo esto y la gente no se quedó. I'm like, Dad, but I guess it's just the way life happens. Like, you're not always going to get the same people every year, you know? So it's pretty interesting how that plays out.
And when you go to Mexico, does I think your parents go with you, correct?
Yeah. My parents always go. Typically both my grandparents are over there, so we're usually with one grandparent or the other grandparents, and then my family is half here and half in Mexico, but my grandparents travel all the time over there, except for my grandma lives over there. And then in the beginning of January we do like the Dia de los Reyes and La Rosca, which is like I'm like halfway, my heart stays over there because it's like partemos la rosca and then we have to come back. So it's like the tamal day and what is it, February 2nd when they do like the Dia de la Candelaria, it's like, well, you guys get to have the feast, but we're over here. So it's like, I don't know. I just love the tradition that my kids get to experience it as well. Oh, I also forgot to note my husband's family is all in Mexico. So, same thing. Like, the only family we have here is mostly mine. He has some family down south, but they don't really typically come out, and we don't really go down there either.
Do your siblings go as well, or does everyone kind of do their own thing?
Depends. My oldest brother doesn't go, but he married into a different, like, I think my cuñada is Chinese, Vietnamese. So I don't, like, they do celebrate certain holidays, but they don't really travel down anywhere else, like out of the country. And then my other brothers do go here and there, but not typically. I'm like the one that goes the most. My youngest brother goes when he can, like if work lets him. But it's cool when we all can go and we all experience the holidays. And then also, like, our town is Cotija, so they have like different sets of holidays where they celebrate. Like, it's really known for a lot of the cheese, although like it originated from Jalisco, like a little town that's like right on border town with Michoacán. So when those rancherias come into town, they come to Cotija, and Cotija is Michoacán. So it's really weird how like we're on the border and like they're Jaliscienses, but we're Michoacanos, and so they bring the cheese to the town to sell it. And so they do, it's called La Feria del Queso, and that's 3 days. And then they also started doing La Feria de la Tostada, which is another like 3 or 4 days. So every single night they do like little booths at the plaza, and different vendors will like give you tastings of their mezcal with cheese. For La Feria del Queso, and then for La Feria de la Tostada, like everybody's selling their tostada, and it's pretty interesting to see like the taste across the different stations. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's probably the one thing that I miss going to Mexico in December for is the La Feria del Queso. I really, really loved and enjoyed that tradition. As my kids got older, we kind well, my daughter, because she's in high school, we kind of stopped doing a lot of long trips because she can't miss school for, long periods of time. So we have to be like really selective of the trips that we do, and it has to be mostly when they're on break. So in the summer we'll do big trips, or like if it's Thanksgiving, it's a week, spring break, a week. And then for Christmas, since they only get 2 weeks off, my husband would always be like, no, that's just not enough time, because we like to drive when we go to Mexico. We don't really, I don't like flying. I think I've talked about this before. I hate flying. If I can drive anywhere, I'd rather drive. And it just seemed like, for 2 weeks, like it's going to take us 3 days to get there, and then we're going to be there for such a short time, and then we're going to have to come back. So it just didn't seem doable. So we've been going to Mexico sometimes in June when it's go there for a month. So I do kind of look forward to the day when I can, when my daughter's out of high school, and then we can start going again for December, maybe 3 or 4 weeks like we used to,
I think was it last year? Last year or the year before that, I think they got out a week earlier. And so we had like 2.5 or almost 3 weeks in December. I can't exactly remember the dates, but that time, I think I took another week before, and I got them school like homework for the week before. And then they were able to do the peregrinaciones because our rancho is on the 12th. So they do peregrinaciones from the 1st to the 12th. And different ranchos in different like districts, or I don't know what they're called, barrios in Mexico, have different days and different times. So they do one in the morning and they do one at night. And so we were able to participate in the last day, and it was pretty cool. My kids had never, they're like, "What are we doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, like we get to do like a little, what is it called? Like a walk, not a parade. I don't know. Is it a parade? I think it's a parade."
Kind of, yeah, like a parade or like a walk. Yeah, like a parade. I think the parade was probably the closest term to what it is.
So it was like they got to participate. They had like little angel outfits, and they got on the back of a truck. And then my little Liz was like crying because she's like, "What is this?" And she was like, I think it was 2 or 3, and so she was a little lost, and she's like, "I don't want to go with these strangers," so I had to carry her. But it was pretty cool that they were able to participate, and like in between every single rancho that was on the parade had like bandas and like Aztec dancers, and then they had the viejitos. It was pretty cool, and I was like, something that they will always remember. And I'm like, that's probably one and the only times we were able to do that, because school, again, like you're saying, it gets in the way. Like, not that it gets in the way, but they can't miss that much school. So I do my best to do vacations, spread them out a little bit. But in December, we typically take 3 weeks. Sometimes it's 2 weeks, depending on what we do. But I hate flying too, so we do a lot of road trips. Turbulence is not my best friend, so. We do a lot of more road trips, and then my family, we take my parents or my uncles and my aunts, depending on who can go and when. So that's typically what we do for our holiday season. And then I just love that my kids are able to experience that and pass that on, because I feel like a lot of my cousins or extended family members don't really get to experience it. And I mean, everybody acclimates a little bit differently.
And what's your biggest pet peeve during the holidays, or do you have one?
I have too many, but I try to just, stay at peace. But like when, like people get too drunk and then they don't, like they use that as an excuse to misbehave or mistreat people, or I don't know, it's just hard. Like it just really shows me who they really are. And then like I think I saw a post that you had recently posted where it's like, how many times do you allow people, oh, something like that, trust the first scenario of a
Oh,
person or something like that.
when
Like,
someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them.
yes, I was like, I we saw that somewhere, and I was like, dude, like I need to, it's so hard because it's like you're dealing with family, but at the same time, like that kills my peace. Like I come home with that, and then like I was talking to my sister-in-law, and she's like, maybe you're just too sensitive, like maybe it's this and maybe it's that. And then I started watching videos, and it's like your anxiety makes you feel like you're walking on eggshells, but then you're like paranoid and watching your surroundings, and you're taking that with you, and then you're so emotional and very reactive. And I'm like, I don't try to react. Like I honestly try to like keep myself together, but when they burst my bubble, it's over. Like, I'm sorry, you're making me explode, and you've done way too much to get me here. Like I'm the sweetest person, but like, como dicen, like como te tratan, tratas, y como, oh, I lost the saying, but it's like, I can be the sweetest person to somebody, and to somebody else, I can be like, no me van a creer, Like, I can be the worst person to somebody else, but it's like, what did you do to make me feel that way? Like, why am I like that with you? There's a reason. I don't just act like a crazy woman to nobody. You know what I mean? Like, it takes a lot to get me there. So there's obviously much more behind your story than what you're saying.
They something about them just puts out like a negative vibe in you, kind of a thing.
Yes, and I hate it because I'm like, I'm trying to like be at peace, like
It
for
brings up
me.
the worst in you, that's what it is.
Yes, but it takes a lot to be there. Like I don't care what you've done to me, I will be at peace or go and participate because I want my kids to have family. Like my biggest fear sometimes is like me dying and my kids not knowing who their family is, or like really having anybody to be there for them. Because for me, I grew up with a village. I know you did too, and we all had each other. But when I die, like I'm like, I want to make sure my kids have somebody to talk to besides, like, because it's not a lot of people have kids at their age. So it's like they're gonna grow up solitos, and that's something that terrifies me because the world's already really ugly. So I just hope they find people like a village or a team or somebody that will be there for them besides my family, because of course, like we hang out a lot with my older family members or my parents, and then like un día ya no vamos a estar, and I want my kids to have somebody, but at that same time, like nobody's having kids, so it's really hard for me. And so yeah, that's basically like my biggest pet peeve, like or somebody telling my kids something and not following through. Like that freaking killed me as a kid. Like my uncles would get drunk in the holidays and be like, oh, mañana voy por ti, vamos a ir a tal parte, ahí voy yo bien alistada, and then my mom's like, tú le creíste, pa qué te, pa qué te arreglabas? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I thought he was being serious. Don't kill my dreams here. But my mom was like, I already know who it is. So, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for
So I'm
sure.
like, oh, I just don't want that to go down with my kids. But that's about it.
Well, my biggest pet peeve, I think, is all the emphasis that we put around gifts in Christmas. I like my favorite holiday, people think I'm so weird, but my favorite holiday is the 4th of July.
Really?
Yeah, that is my favorite holiday, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because on the 4th of July, you don't have to worry about cooking anything, typically, right? You don't have to worry, like, there's not this, like, huge pressure on you have to buy these gifts, you have to be at this place at this time, you have to bring this specific dish because everyone's expecting it. Like, nobody really expects anything from you on the 4th of July. And really, the 4th of July to me is just, Like we go with my kids and my husband, and we've been going to the pier in San Francisco, and we just like walk around all day, and we there's so much music, there's so much laughter, everyone's in a good mood, the weather's beautiful. It's just a different feeling where it's like for me now, Christmas, all I think it just gives me anxiety because all I'm thinking about is I have to buy these gifts and what if they don't like them? And then I'm expected to like cook something. Like there's just so much expectation, especially on moms, to make like holidays exciting and memorable for children. And I don't like that. It gives me anxiety. Like I don't enjoy Christmas.
I feel like maybe it's my different twist on it is probably because like some most of the times we're in Mexico, so like the gifting part isn't there. A lot of the people don't have the fortune to go buy gifts for other people there, so it's like we don't try to make that expectation. But there's a catch. Like when we go to Mexico, every single time I would go, I would buy something for everyone that I could remember on my list because I remember like that filling my cup at one point. However, now that I have kids, it's like, how do I bring a maleta for my kids and a maleta for everyone? And then now, like now that time has progressed, like it's not the same. Like I don't understand how kids in Mexico dress the same way that the kids dress here. Like how do they afford it? My question. Because they don't make like what do they make? Like 200 pesos a day, which is like $10 or $20 at the most. Like I honestly don't know how they afford their clothes. It's sad, but at the same time, like, how do I explain it? Like, so me taking a gift to them now equates me gifting something to somebody here, and maybe they won't like it because now they have higher expectations. Versus back then, I would take my cousin like a new pair of Vans, a new pair of anything that I would have, and they would love it and they would thank me. Like, I know it takes them days to get something like that. You know what I mean? But now that everything's at their reach, it's like I feel like I stress myself out trying to get them a gift and then they don't end up valuing it and then I come home hella mad. Or I just feel like I don't know, maybe I feel like I'm taking advantage of. I don't know if that's the correct way to put it, but I just feel I come home and I'm just like, well, I wasn't expecting them to be like, ah, I don't want that. You know what I mean?
I don't like the gift, and I don't do a lot of gifts. I mean, usually with like my
My
mom and my
mom
friends,
is
we'll do like a secret Santa. So really, I just have to get somebody one gift. It's more of like my kid. Like I do like to get all of my nieces and nephews and my children something like the kids, and that's kind of where like the anxiety comes in because I'm like, oh my gosh, but they don't like it, or I don't know. It just gives me anxiety. I hate that it became that rather than just a moment to hang out with your family, you know, and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we celebrate Christmas with family here like a week or two in advance if we're not here. So they'll have that and then they have Christmas after when we leave. But again, we do get gifts for kids, so same process, but I don't know, maybe it's just that like I just go by whatever like I know that they like I ask the parents like, "Hey, what are they into?" and then I'll get them something, but I don't know. The pressure is real when it comes to that and cooking. Like cooking isn't my favorite thing in the world to do. Because I always had my mom's cooking, which I thought was better than mine. So it's like, how do I bring something as great? Like I just feel like I can't compare with my mom's cooking or somebody else's cooking that's their thing to do. But I mean, I cook when I can, but at the same time, like if I can, whatever they need help with, set up or whatever, like I help in that manner. Or we'll bring a dish or we'll make a dish, but not my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, no, definitely is not my favorite thing to do either. My family loves when I make pasta, so they always kind of want, not that they expect me, but they want me to bring like a dish usually. So it's just, and I'm not used to cooking in big quantities. I mean, we're only four in my house, so whenever I'm asked to make dish like something for a bigger crowd, I find that I either always make way too much, or I don't make enough. Like I don't know how to do
Yeah, the gauging is not my friend either, but I always tell my mom, like, mejor que sobra que no haya, and then we'll put it in the freezer, or, you know, and the kids will eat it later. So, I mean, it works out that way. That's typically how we roll, too. So,
Well, let's jump into our Q&A. So we did have some questions that people wanted to know. So one of the questions is, what's one holiday tradition you've always been intrigued by, but maybe a little scared to try?
Maybe changing up the dishes sometimes. Like for Thanksgiving, we don't typically, or sometimes we were typical and did like the turkey, the ham, and whatever. But then, like, changing up the dishes, it became to like birria, tacos, and whatever, like the Mexican sparkle to the tradition. But then I'm like, I don't know if that's like taking away from the traditional like feast and the kids experiencing it. But I mean, the food is bomb either way. But I don't know. I've not like always gone for that route. So I think this year we did birria and like a Mexican twist to it, which was, it's good, but I'm saying like experience wise, I think like I still miss like the stuffing and the turkey, even though it's dry and it's not my favorite, but like there's just something about it that reminds me of the whole tradition. So
Yeah.
that's something that I don't know if we're gonna continue doing, but I mean, you experience and you change it up. Whatever fit happened, what's called? Whatever works for your family, you know?
Yeah, same. I've always wanted to have like a traditional Thanksgiving feast. And same, I've just been too scared to try to recreate it, because it's just not what we're used to. You know, growing up, we didn't have. I mean, I don't even think we didn't have like mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing and cranberry sauce and turkey, whatever else, the list goes on. We really had tamales and birria and pozole and or menudo, like it was something Mexican. So I definitely do. I would like to try that one day.
Okay, let me know
I
how
will. I can't guarantee you it'll be good. We might have to
goes.
just.
Right?
I
I
have to
know.
just
I mean,
smell everything away.
yeah, well, I mean, my mom's family, a lot of married into American, so like we do get that here and there, but at the same time, it's like we don't have a full on like, you know, American experience, or I don't know if that's the right wording, but you know, I may get in trouble
Like
for
a
that.
traditional,
Yeah, I don't know. It's the
Thanksgiving.
traditional dishes, or like that we've done the whole thing traditionally, but I mean it's really, really good. Like we always bring in some kind of like salsa, or you know, so it like gives you a little twist. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, and I'm like, I don't know if my kids have ever experienced that, so I think we're gonna figure that out next year, but something to try.
If I ever do it, you can come over.
Yeah, all right, sounds good.
If you had to spend the holidays solo in a new place, what country would you choose and why?
Oh my Lord. I don't know, because I'm always so used to just like my typical two countries, so the US and Mexico, but I don't know. Like I've always wanted to try like Puerto Rico, or like I know it's not a country because it's now taken over by the US, but like the tradition and the culture I've never really experienced, and I've seen a lot of like their beautiful beaches, so I would like to say maybe that, but solo, like me and solo aren't great. Like I go down rabbit holes with all my kids, and I don't know, I've never traveled by myself. I almost did for like an entrepreneurial like conference, and then I was like, not happening. Like my anxiety is just not worth the trip to me. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not traveling anywhere by myself. It's not happening. Like, you can't pay me enough. Like, I don't like to get on a plane. So, and asking me to get on a plane by myself, that's not happening. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
If I can't go with other people, then sure. Yeah. Other countries, there's so many, right? I'd love to go to France. I'd love to go to Japan. I'd love to go to Australia. I mean, there's so many. But I'm not going by myself. It's not happening.
I'm with you on that, and then I'm like, I wonder, like sometimes I want to go across the ocean and take long trips, but then I'm like, I don't know how me and turbulence would do. Like I gotta be put to sleep for the entire ride, and somebody's gotta be watching my kids, because I just don't know. Like I don't trust myself with anxiety that long. You know what I mean?
That's
I
another
don't
thing.
trust
Yeah.
myself. That sounds wrong, but
Yeah,
I'm
no, I
just like
totally
freaking out.
understand. I totally understand. That's why I've never gone on a long flight because I can't. I think the longest flight, I don't know if, I think Cancun was like 5 or 5.5 hours, and so was Hawaii. So I think those are the longest trips that we've ever done. and they seemed really long. So I've never tried to go somewhere where it's like 12, 13, 15, 16 hours because I'm not ready.
Yeah, same,
Maybe when
same.
I'm older.
Yep, maybe we'll get our fears over with by then.
Yeah. Another question. If you could change one thing about how people celebrate the holidays, what would it be?
That's a good one. Probably, I don't know. You know what I was thinking? Maybe leaving a box at the entry of the door, like put your phones here.
That,
And
yes.
then like everybody being present, and then a wibble, sorry to use that term, but it's like you're kind of forcing them to interact and engage. Like bring the, I feel like the only time we really do something like that is when we go camping where there's no internet or there's no service, because we really chime into the older di like older times. Like kids have to play with the rocks, kids have to go run, kids have to do different things. And as parents, like we're able to be there with our kids, but also spend time with our family and really cherish those moments. Because a lot of the times now everybody's just has everything at their hands, and it's like they don't, like we take things for granted nowadays. So I
Yeah.
think that, I don't know if I could ever implement that, but I mean it's worth a try.
Mean, I'd love to implement that. I just don't. I think somebody would want to beat us up. You know, like I'm not trying to get into a fight with somebody who doesn't want to give me their phone.
Right?
But I would love that because I watched this meme or saw this meme the other day where it was like a picture of like what the holidays looked like in the 80s, and it was everyone around a table like laughing and talking, and then it was like, and now in 2024, and it was like 10 people sitting on a couch or something, and everyone was on their phones.
Dude, that is so real.
Yeah, or even like yesterday, we went and I took my husband to get some blood drawn. He didn't work because it was raining, and he went and got some blood drawn, and we were in the waiting area. Every single person was on their phone, and I don't know, it just makes me sad. Like I think of our holidays growing up and how we played all these games with our cousins and everyone was singing. Like one of my uncles would be playing the guitar and everyone would be singing, and it was just such a beautiful experience. I feel like it made us bond in a way that now people don't bond. Like they don't have, my kids don't have that bond with their cousins, you know, because they didn't spend hours and hours with them talking and playing games and laughing and learning about their dreams and their goals and what they wanted to be when they grow up. You know, they don't have those kinds of talks. Like they don't really have deep talks anymore. You know, everything's through text.
I was thinking about that the other day because I went down, I've gone to a couple funerals in the last year in the Central Valley, and I'm like, I grew up with these kids, but honestly, like, I wouldn't go every single month. I wouldn't go, and I have like the, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just a special bond with certain people, and I think it's that we would, like, everybody would, like, somebody would be playing the guitar, everybody would be singing, like, even though if I didn't know the lyrics, like we were kids and we were running around, but we listened to the music. Y a fuerzas estábamos jugando. Like we had
Yeah.
no, we were like in this big ranch, and what
Yeah.
were we gonna do with our time? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like we bonded, and now that they're all grown up, I'm like, dude, now our kids are playing with your kids, and it's pretty cute to see. But it's like I have stronger bonds with those people that I saw like very spontaneously or not very frequently, and the people that I see all the time, it's like, you're nothing to them, or I don't know how to explain it. Like, it just, it's
Yeah.
weird.
Yeah, it's definitely a different, it's a different time that we're that our kids are growing up in, and there's good things and there's bad things about it, but there is some nostalgia about that childhood that we have that our kids don't have.
Yeah.
So I liked this question because with the new year approaching, what's one holiday fear you'd love to leave behind?
I think just the social pressure of fitting into a box, I guess you could say, or like when you're a mom, they expect you to do all this stuff. And I don't know, like sometimes it's like, why are you late? And why are they? I'm like, dude, you don't have three kids and you don't have like my anxiety. Like, I'll be there when I get there and if I get there, because sometimes it's like the added pressure. Sometimes I'm like, I tell my husband, I'm like, I'll get ready when I get ready, and you just need to have the kids out the door. Like, I get them ready and then they get all dirty, and then I'm like, dude, I'm not even ready yet, and I have to go change you again. So it's like, just having enough time to do things, just being able to get to the places whenever I can, and not having that extra pressure of like you're late or whatever, like letting people know. I don't know how I would say it though. I'm like, I'm such a people pleaser that I suck at being honest sometimes, like with that. It's like, I'm there. Or sometimes they call me and they're like, where you at? I'm like, around the corner, but I'm not around the corner. Like, give me space, leave me alone. Like, I'll be there when I be there. But I don't know how to explain it. Like, It's just added pressure. I don't know if I do it to myself, but I do get the calls and it's like, what time are they gonna call me? Like, I'm just sitting there and trying to get ready, and then it's a mess.
Yeah, I think the fear, I understand. I think it's like the people pleasing in us, and that's definitely one of the fear. I don't even know if it's like a fear or just, I mean, yeah, maybe like a fear of people not liking you or not being happy with your actions. That is definitely one of my fears too, and also something that I'd like to leave behind would be just having more rest for myself. You know, coming from parents who were Mexican immigrants, they're always like go go go, and you have to hustle and you have to do more and you can't rest. Like my mom, even on days where we didn't have school, would make us get up super early and do chores, and it's like always go go go. So now in my mind, if I'm ever just sitting there not doing something, I feel like I'm lazy.
Oh my God,
Yeah,
like,
like I feel like that, like me sitting there and doing nothing is like equivalent to being lazy, and I really have to stop that because it's not true. Like we all need rest and we all deserve rest. And if I feel like sitting on the couch and not cooking and not cleaning, that should be okay.
you just brought me back to the time like 10 years ago. I had met my husband, and then I was living with my parents while I was going to school. And then he'd be like, "I just can't wait till we have our own spot." And then, like, once we have our own spot, and then we can like do things as we're able to do it. Yes, we'll have the house clean, but it's not gonna be like consistently spotlessly clean, because like we have to also enjoy it. And then also like that pressure of like, if we feel exhausted, like we have to rest. We're not like robots here, you know what I mean? And I'm like, you're so right. And it's like, I just thought about that. Like the culture, like in Mexico, if you go, like somebody's like, "Ay, que floja. Ay, que huevona. Ay, que esto." And I'm like, why are we like that? Like, it shouldn't be that way. And so when I got anxiety and the doctor told me, like, "You're so go, 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 you have to be present and like relax, take a step back." And I was like, I can't do that. My body doesn't function like that. Like, this is not me. It felt so awkward. Like, I just like felt like I hit a roadblock and I was like, what do you mean I have to slow down? Like, this is not life. That's not possible. Like, my kids are not gonna sit there and just wait. Like,
Yeah.
but then I'm like, no, my body is telling me that I need to slow down. So after that, my husband would help me a lot with the kids. Like, I'd come home and I'd have to be sleeping. Like, I had to take, like, I swear it took me like almost a month to recuperate after my first panic attack, because all the energy that it drained, like, it drenched me. Like, I was out. I was so drained. And so it took forever to like get back, and I had to get like a sleeping schedule. Like, I would go to bed at 8 and I would wake up at like 7, get a lot of rest. I don't know, it was so weird. Like, I had to sleep so much and sleep it off. And then like after, they're like, "Oh, it's because it took a mental toll plus the physical toll on your body." I just like, that is crazy. But yeah, it's part of the journey, and I'm like, here we are. So a lot of that you just said just like really sink in.
Yeah, I love that your husband said that and that he was very supportive through that, as a partner should be. Yeah, that's just something that I'm trying to work on, is like if I feel tired, just like listening to my body, or if I just don't want to do a bunch of stuff that day, it's okay. Like I can have a rest day. And that's something I'm trying to work on. So I hope to continue working on that in the new year. I also liked this question a lot. It says, you're hosting a holiday gathering and an invite, sorry, you're hosting a holiday gathering and can invite any one famous guest, past or present. Who would it be and what would you ask them?
That's a very good question. I don't think they're famous, but I would I don't know. Maybe my grandpa was a famous person back then, but I never got to meet him. So I would relive my grandpa and ask him a million questions. That we're like, he had siblings that we did get to meet and things of that nature, but I really don't know. I guess I'm just really interested in like the history and really knowing like what their life was like, because like I get other people's like point of view, but I don't know what really, really happened. So I think I would just bring back my grandpa and ask him all those questions. What about
Same.
you?
Same. It's my grandmother, my nana. Like, it's nobody famous. I just wish, and not even to ask her anything, I just wish I could see her again. You know, like, I just wish I could spend another holiday with her. I wish I could hug her. I wish I could kiss her on the cheek. And I wish I could hear her laugh. As years go by, she died in 2012, so it's been 12 years now. And I feel like I can still close my eyes and I can still hear her laughter, which I love, but I do kind of get scared of that maybe there'll come a day when I can't. And that's like the day that I don't want to get to that day. Like I don't
Yeah.
ever want to like close my eyes and I'll remember what the sound of her laughter sounded like. So yeah, I'm not sure I'd really ask her anything. I just would like to see her again.
Yeah, I feel the same. I think like sometimes we take life for granted again, like I was saying, a lot of people like that we have. Of course there's always gonna be people that are difficult to work with or people that just don't clash with you, but at the same time, like we're so fortunate to have our people around us and the people that we do have. Some of them have already left us, but we just gotta take what we have and be grateful for what we have.
For sure. If you could relive a holiday season as a child, what memory would you want to revisit or change?
I think it would be like I think it was a 4th of July a long time ago when I was kid. We had like fire it was before fireworks were bad. Then we had like this huge party and it kind of felt like Christmas where everybody was there. And we just had a blast. Like it was both my dad's family and my mom's family. And it was like I think back in the day we used to have lots of parties and everybody would come. And I don't know. I feel like everybody has grown and had kids, so it's like we don't really see a lot of our people anymore. But just going back and cherishing those moments again. What about you?
Same, probably, just going back to my childhood, really any holiday, and just remembering, or even just on Sundays when we would always go visit my grandmother and all of my mom's siblings would go as well. And so you got to see all of your cousins and my grandmother. I don't, she just would like, you could show up to her house on a random Tuesday and she would make, like, she would pull so many things out of her fridge. And before you knew it, there's like a buffet of food. And it didn't even have to be anything crazy. Like, it's just everything tasted better at her house. So I just wish that we could, like, go back to those times where we could just go to grandma's house and just eat and laugh. And like I said, there was always so much laughter and so much music. And I do miss that. I miss, like, hearing the sound of, like, my mom singing and my uncle singing and even my grandma. Like, I just miss those days for sure. I'd want to go back to that.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, like reliving those kind of experiences with your family members, it's just something that always sticks, and I hope those memories stay with my kids that we try to recreate those ourselves.
That's beautiful. Okay, so I know now we have some like deep dive questions. We had this is kind of like where we asked other people questions. One of the questions that I asked, because we did recently have an election, and I did notice that there was a lot of division between family, like even like families, like I between like husband and wives or between siblings, things like that. And so it just got me thinking, like, how many people, because for me, I felt like when I was dating my husband, we kind of had those conversations, like what's our religion? We had, we both grew up Catholic, so that was pretty easy. And then like, what are your, political views and things like that? Like, what are your views on abortion? What are your views on immigration, like things like that, just to make sure that I wanted to make sure that our views kind of aligned, because I didn't want to have, I don't know, I didn't want to have tension or have it to be where I'm like, I'm voting for one person, my husband's voting in for another person. So I did want to ask my, the audience just kind of to say, like, what do you do when you're in a relationship? And I said it more for like people that are dating, because I feel like once you're married, well, you've kind of already committed, you're already committed to that person. But when you're dating, you kind of have, I don't know, options to stay or go. I mean, you do too as well when you're married, but it's just, it's not as easy. So I wanted to say, like, if you're dating somebody, what do? If you have different, political beliefs or religious beliefs, like, do you, A, do you break up? B, do you agree to disagree? And then C, do you just not talk about it? Like, it's just a topic that you don't ever bring up. And I was kind of shocked that out of all the people I asked, there was two people that said we don't talk about it, which I was like, oh, that's kind of crazy. But I wasn't shocked by the results, because the majority of people said that they would break up if they had. I think it was 52% would break up, 40% would agree to disagree. So that's kind of what I thought as well, because I I do think that if I was dating someone and they had really different political or religious beliefs, I would probably have to break up. I mean, maybe not right away, but I think eventually we would break up because how do you raise kids when your views on certain things are so different, you know? Or, like, for example, when I was dating my husband, it was the first time that I was able to vote. And I don't remember, I think it was Obama and somebody else. I can't remember who else, but it was like in 2020. So, or no, sorry, 2020. Oh my God. It was definitely not 2020. I can't remember the year now. It was like 2008, I believe. 2008. Right. Yeah. The first time he ran. Yeah. It was 2008. So that was the first time that I was able to vote for, it wasn't the year I turned 18, but it was just like the first presidential election that I was able to vote. And I was dating my husband at the time. And I do remember having like really, I don't know, like difficult conversations with him, but I just really wanted to see like, do our values align? We believe in the same things. Do we value the same things? Because I wouldn't want to, I don't know, like I wouldn't want to raise a child with somebody if we're telling them two very different things. Like our children are going to be confused, right?
I was actually like, I think I follow someone that is says that they're atheist, but like they grew up Catholic, and then I don't remember if their significant other is Jehovah's Witness. I don't remember exactly how they grew up. I think they grew up differently, but then for their kids, they don't really embrace religion, or they don't really discuss it, and they let the kids grow up with whatever they believe. But then I'm like, I don't know, like, for me, religion is something that I really value, and I'm like, I want my kids to know these values and know like right from wrong, besides what the world can tell you or school can tell you, because at the same time, when you go to school, the kids are all very different, and like they can influence your kids in different ways. So I'm like, if they can have a set of values where we both at home talk about it, and then like our family isn't also very religious, like we'll be in sync, I guess, in some way. So I did have to. Like I did the same thing with my husband when I met him. Like we went to church together, and I was like, okay, well, we're on the same page on these topics. And then like my parent, like he was raised in Mexico, and he didn't come to the US until we got married, so like he didn't really have experience here, which has been a little hard sometimes when like he's accustomed now, right? But right off the bat, coming here like was totally different. Like, oh, why are your cousins hugging you, and why are this, and why are that? Like in Mexico, it's not like that. Like, when they're crossing boundaries like that. I don't know if it's boundaries. So I don't think we really have boundaries in Mexico, but it's just something you really don't do, I guess you could say. But it's different, you know what I mean? And so he's used to everything now, and he really knows how things are different, but there's topics that we did have. And so raising kids, as you're saying, with different point of views, it's gonna be really hard. However, the voting, I don't know. Because, like, my parents, at one point, my dad was a Republican, and I don't even know how he got to be a Republican, and my mom was a Democrat. So then, when the things came in, and they're like, why do we have different voting options? Like, what is going on? And I was like, well, apparently, my dad's a Republican here, and so my mom is a Democrat. I don't know how y'all didn't go in sync, but he's like, how do. So then they just voted to the best of their abilities, but it's like, it's really interesting. Like, I don't think they really thought about it, right? Because like they have the same upbringing and like same experiences, same struggles when they did come here and things of that nature. But I just feel like a lot of the times, if you don't discuss type things like this, it's a make it or break it. And I've seen that. Like, I've heard about different stories of people like, oh, well, we thought one way, but then as we evolve, we also can change our point of view. And I think it's the lived experiences that really resonate with certain people. And I mean, I respect, like, I have an uncle that is a go hard, like, one way, right? And then the majority of the family is believes in the other political party. But then it's like sometimes there's things that are in the middle, and I'm like, I don't really don't know if it should be right or left, or what we should really vote for. But at the end of the day, I'm like, whatever is going to affect my kids' future is what I'm voting for. But when it comes to like being rude about it, or being reactive about people's opinions, I'm just like, everybody has their own train of thought. Like, I just try to think in that manner. But living with somebody that just doesn't align with you would just be so hard for me.
My no, because my daughter, like I have a best friend, and I think we're really different in politics. Not so much in religion, but in politics. And my daughter was like, oh, mom, like how do you stay friends with somebody who is so different? And I'm like, well, it's, versus like what you're saying, because I was having this conversation with her. And she's like, versus what you're saying, like if my dad didn't, believe in the same things as you, you would have probably broken up with him. And I'm like, well, I think it's different because I'm not sleeping with this person. I'm not sharing my life with this person. I'm not having kids with this person. Like, yeah, I love my best friend and we're gonna, figure it out. But at the end of the day, it's like my husband, I have to do life with him. I have to do finances with him. Like I have to feel safe with him. I have to feel seen with him. Like I have to be able to be heard by him. And I feel like if, and I'm, and I think it also comes down to, I'm very opinionated. I have really strong opinions. So I'm not going to be one person to just be like, oh, we won't talk about it. Like, oh no, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know how some people are like, I leave it at the door and that's it. I'm like,
No, I
wow.
can't do that. I can't do that. So that's what I'm saying. Like my husband, can you imagine if we were different? Like we would be butting heads.
Yeah.
Now, if you are a person, because there was a lot of people that said they're going to agree to disagree. And I feel like if you are somebody who can leave things at the door, who can, who isn't going to get so deep and so invested, then I do think it could work, especially like you said with religion. I do know people that have different religions, and like they said, they just allow their kids to kind of grow up and make those decisions on their own, which is great. I have no problem with that. But it, and the same with politics. If you guys can just agree that you guys have different viewpoints, and that's great. Whatever works for everyone. I just feel like in my case, in my family, it wouldn't work out.
Totally feel you there. It's hard. For me, I'm the same. I'm very vocal, so opinionated, vocal, and my husband is a little quiet. So like he'll be vocal if he's drinking, but otherwise, like you won't really hear from him. But like I know, like we do tell each other like our opinions and where we stand with certain things. So it's like I already know when it's gonna bother him or what's gonna. He knows what bothers me. So like we just try to make it work. And so like I just feel like nobody's ever gonna know each other 100%, no matter how long you live with someone. Like there's always gonna be something that may bug you here and there, but it's like that with everything and everyone, like just learning to coexist, I guess you could say.
Exactly. I think this was a question that you had asked some of the viewers was, how long does it take for you to move past fear and take a leap of faith?
I think it really depends. I did get varied answers. I think it was like 33% did like I think a couple of months, 33% did a year, and then various years. So it's just I think a lot of us like just re like how to explain it. We don't move beyond our fear. Like it just limits us to where we're at, and it's like it also limits our growth when we really don't think about that. So like taking on a new business or like taking on a project, doing something that really fills our cup, sometimes it's like a mental barrier because we don't act upon it or we don't take that leap of faith, and it's like it's a fear that holds us back from growing. And we could be so much better if we filled our cup sometimes. And it's like, sometimes I even tell people, like, we forget to self-care. We forget to invest in ourselves. And one day we won't have kids. Like, as moms, I feel like I always put my kids first. And I'm like, but what is there for me? And it's like, that's why I feel like that's one thing that really pushed me to do my business and help people, because it's like, at the end of the day, yes, I'm being a mom, but I'm also able to fill my own cup, which makes me feel like I have a purpose. So a lot of the times, it takes time, and I'm like, I'm mind blown sometimes of people that take years to act upon their dreams. But then again, I live with someone that did the same thing, so it took my husband forever to start his own gig. And it's like, you're so talented, like use your talent and help people, and that way you don't have to deal with management or deal with the risk of not having a job, So it's something to think about, and it's something to encourage our community, because all the like. How do you say it? Like our Latino community has a lot of limiting beliefs and like our voices within us. It's like, oh, no se puede, no se puede. Yes, sí se puede. ¿Tienes papeles? ¿No tienes papeles? Like, sí se puede,
Same. Me and my husband are. I'm your husband, and my husband is you. Like he's very like my husband. Like for him, no means nothing. Like he's just like, I don't know, close one window or whatever the saying is, and I'll find another one. Like, that's how he is, because that's the way his mind works. Me, it does take me a really long time. Like, I had been wanting to do a podcast for years, at least 2 years. So it's like, it does take me a long time to kind of, you know, build up the confidence or build up the courage, or just change is scary, you know, things like that are hard. So I totally understand, but I feel, but I also understand like what you're saying, because my husband's the same way.
Yeah, I just feel like we should believe in ourselves a little bit more. I know it, I mean, everybody's working on something. I'm not saying that you're wrong. You know what I mean? But it's like if we don't take that leap of faith, you don't really know what potential you really have. So it's like something that my therapist also told me. Like, I help people, I help the community, and he's like, why don't you just start a nonprofit and do things on your own? Like, you'll get paid for what you're doing. And I'm like, I don't know. It just for me, that's scary. That's just like an extra layer of like management, I guess. I don't know. It'll be like rules that I have to abide by, and it's like I'll just do it for free when I can, because like right now my kids are my priority, and I can't really build, like I have my side business, but at the same time, like, you know what I mean? Like I feel like I can't give it my all, and the nonprofit's gonna need a lot of that. It's gonna need more regulation, more auditing, more aspects to just, hey, I'm a business, you know what I mean? So it's like I can't give it. If I know that I have that limit and I just can't have that extra time, then I'm not gonna go and do that and take that risk, you know? So I just rather have a small business now, maybe down the road, but we'll see. It's just, I don't know. For me, money isn't everything in this world, and for me, just to fill my cup is enough.
So also, one of the questions that you ha we had also asked on the podcast page, Instagram page, was what's something you wish someone had told you rather than having to learn it the hard way? There was someone that said, you know, that they wish they had learned about like parenting. I don't know if they meant like how hard it was gonna be. That's kind of how I took it. I don't know if that's how you took it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, same. Like, you know, like I wish, I feel like my, I don't know, maybe my mom made it look easy. I don't know. And but it's like, I feel like they never, she never really had that conversation where she was like, having kids is freaking hard, you
Yeah.
know? So I just thought that that was great, because I could definitely relate.
I feel like, yeah, but at the same time, like, no matter how much somebody's gonna tell me it's so hard, I'm still gonna do it.
Oh,
Like,
for sure.
you know what I mean? Like, it's like some people are like, well, if it's because people only idolize being a mom, people only share the good parts. I'm like, no, I share the nasty, ugly, and raw parts too. Like, it's not just gonna be beautiful. But yes, I still feel like a lot of the social media, depending on what you're looking at, right? So if you're on socials and trying to see what it's like to be a mom, obviously you're only gonna see like the beautiful parts of the world and the beautiful parts of the moments. But if you, I mean, it's not easy, and like anything, everything has its ups and downs, and everything has its risks. So, having a kid is beautiful. I just feel like it's the hardest job, but it's the most rewarding in my opinion. But I can see how that can be something that you would want somebody to tell you, but you don't really know what it's like until you're there.
True. Yeah, that is very true. You won't, and like you said, it's not like it would have stopped us from doing it. We still would have done it. And then I think, I kind of lost my train of thought, but I think, oh, I was listening to this podcast where Kale Lowry from Team Mom, and she talks about this a lot, how she loves her kids. Like, I love my kids. I will die for my kids. There's nothing I won't do for my children. But like the thought of having to feed them every day, you know, like it's so exhausting, you know, and that's what I mean. Like, people don't talk about that. Like, they don't talk about the fact that it's just so exhausting to have to feed these people, you
Right,
know?
especially it's hard for me sometimes. Like, feeding is one thing, but when they don't want to eat what you're feeding them, it's like it's harder. So it's like I have one that'll eat for three, and I have one that won't eat anything. So it's like it's hard.
Same. Yeah, one of my child, she, well, the oldest, she's not very picky. She'll eat whatever, but my son, oh my God, drives me up the wall.
Yep, same.
See,
They're like, well, I already have this. I'm like, you have food, you should be
that's a
grateful.
fad. Yeah.
But
So
yeah.
someone else said, what, and that's what you were talking about earlier, is when someone shows you who they are, you believe them the first time. And that's something that I had also heard on a podcast. I think it was a Jay Shetty podcast, and he talks about that a lot. And that also resonated with me, because I do go back and think about, you know, certain things that people did And I kind of just like brush them off, like, oh, it won't happen again. They learned their, I don't know, like they learned their lesson or whatever. But I tell my sister that all the time too. It's like, and my daughter, like I really try to tell them, like, no, like when somebody shows you who they are, you believe them the first time because it's like that is their character, that is who they are. And yes, I do believe people can change, but they have to want to change.
That's what I was gonna ask you. I was gonna say I can see that, but I also feel like we lose the faith in humanity sometimes real quick. So it's like nice to see when things are not the way we usually think they are. Like lived experiences, for example, like if somebody will look you down. Like I've had weird experiences with my kids' soccer league. It's majority Anglo-Saxon, and so when we're like the only Latinos in there, like we get looked side-eyed. Like when it's me, not always, but when it's me, my husband, my parents, and like the whole family,
Well, the whole family.
we get like obviously you could tell, and we feel a certain way, and I'm like, I don't know if we do that to ourselves or it's just really for real, but I just feel it, and it's like, do you like act upon it? Because then after that, I went to like when they were at the tournament, they had like food for the kids, and they wanted us to stay so the kids could practice. So it was just me and my kids. My husband and my parents were working, so they weren't able to be there. And I had a very different experience where the moms were like, "Oh, what do you want to eat?" And like talking to me like nothing. And I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know what it is." But I just had two different lived experiences within the same group of people, so it was like very different. And then after that, like me saludaban everywhere, so it was like it was pretty cool. But then at the same time, I'm like, why does it have to take that? Like, why do I have to go out of my way to make things be different? You know what I mean? Like, if I wouldn't have gone, then they would have just acted the same.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's hard. I mean, I give people the benefit of the doubt a lot of the times because I guess I don't know if it's the people pleasing in me, but I'm like, I hope that they're just having a bad day. Like, everybody can have a bad day, so I don't want to
Yeah.
judge people based on one.
One
Rocky,
interaction.
sorry, this thought is like irking my nerves, but.
Can't even hear.
So I don't want to judge people based on one interaction with them, but I mean it's true. It's hard. It's hard because it's like at what point do you know when they really want to change versus like when that's just who they are?
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing is like we can't, I don't know, we can't really know, right? So, and I don't mean like, every stranger you meet on the street, obviously, it's like people can have a bad day. I think what they meant and how I took it was more of like when it's like a very personal relationship, like let's say for example, I don't know, you're dating a guy or a girl and they cheat on you, right? Like you should believe them the first time they cheat, not the second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth time, like they're showing you a part of their character that's there. And that's not to say that I don't believe that people can change because I do believe that people can grow and change, but they have to want to, right? So it's like, how long are you willing to wait around and see if this person changes or not,
Yeah. And it's hard because like I'm like I went through a phase where I was just like I really didn't care and I'm like, you know, whatever when I was younger and talking to people and I'm just like whatever, like just living like nothing, right? But then when you're taking somebody serious, it's like how do you know when they're on the same page with you? But then yeah, I'm so glad that's over.
I'm glad we don't have to date again. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Somebody else had said, who's responsible for picking up or cleaning up the broken glass left behind, regardless of who broke it? So it's kind of, I don't know, like to me, it kind of sounded to I think what we were talking about a few episodes ago, where it's like, don't bleed on the person who didn't cut you necessarily, like sometimes. I don't know, sometimes, or even as a parent, you have to kind of, I don't know, like if somebody is really mean to my child, right? And they come home, it's like I have to be the one to take care of that situation, even though I didn't do it, even though I didn't necessarily harm my child. So I don't know if that's how they meant it, but that's kind of how I took it.
Yeah.
Is that how you took it, kind of?
I don't know. Yeah, so the aspect that we were saying, like where the people like come into a broken relationship or they have trust problems and then you move on and get another partner and you have the same trust problems. I feel like we don't take the time to heal sometimes when they go in through those
Yeah.
scenarios. So it's like, why am I paying for something that, or not me, but like the other person receiving the treatment, it's like, why do they have to pay for the things that you're still going through?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, we're all human, we're all healing, and sometimes you don't heal right away, or sometimes you don't heal through the whole process. So I mean, I don't know what the right amount of time you need to have between people, but at the same time, it's like, there's people that also have like dependency issues, or
Yeah.
like a problem with being solo, or being alone, or I don't know what it's like, but it's like, sometimes I have to remind myself too, like, self-love comes first, and a lot of the time people don't really take the investment to do things for themselves, and it's everybody else's comes before, or like, I don't know what it is. Maybe they don't know how to be by themselves, or they've always been around people their whole lives. But it's like, honestly, having to pay for somebody else's trauma is not okay at the same time. So I don't know what the real balance is, and then the judgment between that, like, I don't know, just depends. And hopefully that person gets some grace and gives grace to themselves. Maybe they need to rethink what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. But I also think there's something like beautiful about people who are willing to, I don't know, like fix a broken heart that they didn't necessarily break, you know, because I don't know, like I've only literally been in one serious relationship my whole life because I met my husband at 16, so it's not like I don't have a lot of dating experience or anything like that. But I just can't, I don't know, like if I were to not be with my husband tomorrow, I don't know how long it would take me to heal or if I would ever heal, you know? So it's like there is also something really beautiful about somebody who says like, I love you and I'm going to love you through this and I'm going to help you through this. But at the same time, like you said, it's not their responsibility, you know? And it's like you should do the work and go to therapy or whatever it is that you need to do to kind of regain back those trust issues or whatever issues you may have because of the relationship that didn't work out.
I think of that, and then I also think of like when people get into other relationships and they already have kids. I don't know if that's considered a broken glass, but it's like, I don't want to say kids are glasses, sorry. But I'm saying like people come into a relationship with kids, and then that person takes on the kids as if they were theirs. Like that is amazing, and I feel like a lot of the times there's a lot of judgment within the family, even if the parent, you know what I mean? They're not your kids or whatever. Like, why are you taking care of kids that are not your kids? But it's like, if you chose that person and they came with kids, then I mean, I don't know what, I don't know. I guess I've not been in those shoes, and it's, I don't know how that would happen, but it's like, it's pretty awesome to see when people pick up that responsibility, and they take it on as if it was theirs, and there's no, what is it called? Like, when they say blood doesn't necessarily mean you're related.
Or like your chosen family, right? There's like your family that you're related to because of blood, and then there's your chosen family.
Yes.
So to kind of wrap things up, there was one question from a listener, and I kind of left this to the end because I thought it was like a, I don't know, it's a good way to end it. But she said, where do you see your podcast in the next 5 years? Maybe what core topics do you envision becoming our signature content?
That's a good question. I don't know. I was like, oh, well, I just want to be here in 5 years and make sure that the podcast is still rolling, and that we're doing great, touching more people and healing more people, healing our community. But I think, I don't know. It's hard to really envision that far out for me. I'm only really in the present all the time. So when people ask me, like, where do you see yourself, or where do you see your business or podcast in 5 years? It's like, honestly, I just hope it's doing well, and that we're healing a lot better, and that everybody is just on another vibe. You know what I mean? Like, we're way past COVID, and that we're all doing great and triumphing, and elections are behind us, and people can be more united, and that this podcast can help more women feel relatable and heard and seen. So
Yeah, same. It's kind of hard for me. Like you said, I just hope it's still here. You know?
yes, that's what I was like, I
If
know.
in 5 years we're still doing this, then we've won. You know, we've
Yes,
won.
we
Like
won.
I don't know about like signature content necessarily, but I definitely always want this to feel like a safe place. I want this to feel like a place where everyone is included and everyone is welcome. And don't have the right answers. We don't know it all. We're far from perfect, but we're just trying to figure it out. And we hope that as a community, we can all figure it out and that we can continue to overcome our fears and our challenges. And like you said, voices that hold us back, not necessarily because of what other people have told us, but just because of things that we believe ourselves. I know that for me, that's one of the things that has kept me back is just voices in my own head. So if I could help anyone else to feel less alone, or like there is other people out there who are just like you and they do understand what you're going through, you don't always have to live in that negative space. Like you can get out of that negative space. So yeah, if we're still here in 5 years, and even if, I don't know, we only have 20 listeners, then that's fine. We don't even.
We'll be here, Myra. We'll make this work. No worries.
Yeah. Okay, good. So please remember to subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit the notification button so you don't miss an episode. If you're on Apple or Spotify, anything like that, please subscribe to the channel as well so you will never miss an upload. If you want to email us, please, we would love to hear from you at letsdoitafraidpodcast@gmail.com. And we hope everyone has a beautiful, lovely New Year's Eve, and 2025, here we come.
Yes, thank you so much for following us and for listening today. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If there's any kind of dishes for Thanksgiving next year or any kind of traditions you'd like to share with us and maybe we can implement for our next year. I know me and Myra have started already scheduling out our year. So if we can help us with any kind of ideas or different dishes or different ways to celebrate the holidays, go ahead and send them to us. If you have anything to say or anything you'd like to know more about us, we can totally share that on the next Q&A. Otherwise, have a great year end, and we'll see you guys next year.
Bye.
Bye-bye.